UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There's 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
Was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There's 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
We're about to take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you all are well. I'm Nick Hunter and you are listening to the UFO Chronicles podcast. We start off tonight with Elise in Michigan, and Elise will be sharing her sightings of three glowing orbs in a triangular shape, and she has also experienced paranormal activity on and off for 19 years. Anomalies that cannot be explained. Then we head across to the state of Pennsylvania to hear about William's daytime sighting of a beam ship and several other UFOs, out-of-the-body experiences, and several other unexplained events. Elise up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. And welcome to the podcast.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from Michigan in the United States.
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Now, Elise, you have some experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Sure. I'll start with the UFO one. I can say that I was hanging out with a newer friend, and it was... I would say, we've known each other for like a few months, but we really connected because we kind of were in conspiracies, you would call it today. And we just was sharing a lot of information that, you just can't talk to normal people about. Like, we really connected on a lot of stories and just being able to like share one another, like what we all know. And like, it's almost like putting the puzzle together of just how does this tie in with that? And he was staying at my house. And I mean, at the time, I was 22 and now I'm 31. So this was 9 years ago. I'm still a young one. But, me and him, we were engaging in what you would call a THC or whatnot. And that was about it. Like, we weren't even high off of that. But my mom's house, because that's where I was staying at, she had a bathhouse, so like a separate headquarters in the backyard of her house. And she had like a nice 4-lot, big backyard. And it was beautiful. It had like an in-ground pool. And there was 2 like bathhouses, you would say. One was for like the pool equipment. And the other one was with living headquarters, which I was renting out from my mom and my stepdad. And we would hang out in, you know, my area, but we went into my mom's house. And as we were walking out, when you walk out of her backyard, you immediately see where my guest house is straight in front. And then you see like the Olympian in-ground pool in front of it. And then on your right side, there's that other bathhouse kitty cornered with it. And then you just kind of have like, you know, nice, large, private fence. It was dark, I would say about like midnight-ish. Not even midnight-ish, maybe like 11. And I mean, like I said, we've been talking, you know, a few weeks of just about crazy stuff. And I don't know exactly what the conversation was. But as we were walking out of my mom's back door into like my guest house, we seen these three glowing orange balls in like a triangular shape. Not triangular, but how the form was. So you have like two and then one on the bottom. And it was at least 70 to 80 feet to our right side of like right above us. And I mean, we both seen it. And I mean, by the blink of an eye, it was gone. There was no way it was like a street light, like a reflection from a headlight. Cause you know, you're trying to like comprehend what you just seen and like justify it by not being crazy. You know, you just talked up crazy stuff. So, but the thing was, it was just 75 feet in the air in the dark. I mean, you could really like really see it. I mean, it had like a glowing orange on the outside and then it would kind of go like yellow and then like maybe even like little drips of like, I don't want to say red or deeper orange, but almost as if they were kind of textured. But they're just, and I want to say like the glowing balls were probably the size of a grapefruit, I would imagine. Yeah. Grapefruit, pomegranate, something like along that description. It was just, it was so weird. Like, honestly, I knew, and I've never seen one before. I mean, we've seen shooting stars, you know, is that a plane or, but this one was just, it just kind of shook me up. And I mean, I even remembered writing it down in my little kind of scrapbook journal. And I even put it UFO May 17th, 2012. And his name was Brandon. I mean, even till this day, sometimes we'll still catch back. Like, man, you remember that time you seen that? Like, yeah. And even then, you hear stories about other people seeing it and having different experiences. But then I've heard the same experience as well, where it's a glow, an orange glow of light. And I can say that, like, my mom's property is in a very small city. But the city kind of has, you have like a quarry, you have a landfill. It's right at like not too far from like the Detroit River. The house that was built there was very old brick. I believe like the guy that had built schools around the city like built that house as well. So it was built there for a while. And I know I've even heard like small rumors that was like an Indian gravesite. But it wasn't like something, I guess, a rumor I would indulge in or even really looked up at that time. I was only like 13 when we kind of 12, 13 when we moved there. So it was one of those things to where it's hard to say like what could have brought that because I haven't seen one since, but there has been different weird things you just can't call coincidences. That house that I'm talking about, my mom's, I've had three or four family members pass away in there. The house ended up kind of becoming pretty pretty active just on energies. I mean, I would say I can't, paranormal experience, I want to say maybe happened before the UFO, but there's just, I have so many of those that would take a whole series. It's just the UFO one, it just startled me, and I try not to talk about it with too many people, but now that, you know, the Pentagon gets to say it's real, now you can kind of talk about it without, you know, being shunned from your group of friends or family. And it's just, it's really interesting because writing this down, my dad passed away exactly 3 years after seeing that UFO on May 17th. And I didn't notice this coincidence probably until like a year, as I'm kind of just going through journals and clean, you know, going through stuff during being locked down. And I noticed that I wrote that in, and it was the same, not year, but the same date, May 17th. So that kind of gives me goosebumps where, you know, just kind of how, is this a simulation playing a trick? You know, kind of how that worked out. So it's just, it's an interesting story because, I mean, for those dates and even then, like my mom's house activity, it's just a very active spot. But with the UFO story, I mean, that's really much I could go by. Like, I didn't see it since. It wasn't anything that occurred or even come close.
You said the size of the balls were about the size of a grapefruit?
Yeah. A little bigger than a softball. Like a grapefruit.
Okay. Were they moving independent of each other? Did they keep the same shape, or were they all moving around independently?
Yep, they're all exactly the same shape, same color. Because I'm trying to think if the bottom one would have been a little bit smaller, but no, it wasn't.
And you said it kept a triangle shape?
Yes.
Okay. And was the movement erratic, or was it more of a case of it was there 1 minute, gone the next?
Yeah, so they're the one, I would say, 2 seconds, not even. And you didn't see it just like fly, like it just disappeared.
Right, right. And there was no light defects, no street lights, no car headlights, nothing like that. It was basically what you saw.
Yeah, because the way it was positioned in the sky, even if the car, because we live on like flat land, it's not like there's mountains. Even if you were to drive down the street, like where my mom lives in our backyard is safe. The other side of the road to all the way to the right is what would be going in that direction. And then the other side that's closer to the street for the other way, that's closer to my mom's backyard, it's going towards like the complete opposite way. So, because of course, you know, you would think like maybe headlights, but I never seen headlights reflect in two, like in three, you know, orange glowing balls. The way the second bathhouse was, they had this nice tile window that was kind of put into the side of it. So like the weather, even if there was a light reflection off that, that could have been, it just would have been, I think, and I'm not a scientist or a physicist, but I believe it would be just physically impossible for that to just kind of occur like that. Because this was like in 2012, so it's not even like there were drones, or it's just one of those things where like you do look for something to justify this in your head. Whoa, what, you know, what is this? Kind of thinking like, okay, you know, you're looking around like, is this a prank? What is this? But it couldn't be explained from here.
Just one of those strange events. And you said you'd experienced some paranormal activity on the property as well?
Yeah, I have. And even my brother, family. Yeah, because the paranormal activity did happen before the UFO, now that I think about it. Because my brother, he's 9 years older than me, and he was facing some hardship, you know, lived at my mom's house. Well, she lived on a ranch. There was no basement, no upstairs. Everything's one level, big garage. It's like a 3-4 car garage. And the bedrooms were all on the same end of the house. And you have a bathroom like in the middle. And me and him, it was really late too. I want to say like around 2 or something. And my mom, she married my stepdad. He was a lot older than her. So she would just kind of party to just numb her pain away. So my mom was just kind of gone. And usually, like, me and my brother would just wait up for it, you know, make sure they got home, or, you know, just kind of stuff like that. So I'm in the back, way back bedroom, and my brother was in the living room, kitchen area, where, like, the bathrooms are all that. And, I mean, the walls aren't completely thin, but, I mean, there, you can hear if there's any movement, talking or anything kind of going, at least within the kitchen, bathroom area, not the garage, but through that you can at least hear movement steps or whatnot. Well, the bathroom, other wall of the closet in my bedroom. So my bedroom's closet and the bathroom probably, like, you know, share the same like wall. And I heard talking, and I literally heard my brother talking on the phone. And it sounded like his girlfriend at the time, Candace, because I heard a woman's voice in the background too. And it was like almost, I couldn't exactly make out what they were saying, but you could just hear them talking. And I, you know, and I'm not really thinking of it because, you know, like my brother's talking to his girlfriend, like, who, you know. Well, my brother comes in and he's like, Elise, who are you talking to? And I'm like, what do you mean, Jeremy? He's like, who were you talking to? I'm like, I thought you were on the phone with Candace. And me and him look at each other with this stare of like, no, are you messing with me right now? No, like, you know, no. Well, me and him got so spooked out, we ended up like sleeping in the garage until my mom got home. And that's not even like, that's just like the first when it really started kind of happening. Cause you would have these moments where you just feel like you're in the living room, fall asleep to TV on the couch or whatnot, and you just feel stuff like breathing over you, or you would hear these footsteps that were like, seriously, you would think someone's walking across the living room, and you would look over and no one's there. And I was like, okay. And then one time in the attic, we heard footsteps banging in the attic, and it wasn't like there's construction. This was like in the middle of the night. So it came to the point where, like, you know, we would have to say a couple of scriptures from the Bible. And it wasn't even like it was that house. We moved to this house up north in the country part. And me and my brother were talking about the incident that happened in Riverview, kind of like reminiscing on how, you know, that is. And we kind of felt like the new place that we moved into was just a little sketch. You know, you could just feel like a little bit of the air pockets are different, just a little, so like the little energy was off. So he goes downstairs, two bedrooms and a bathroom upstairs, and then you go downstairs to another couple bedrooms, the kitchen, living room. So, well, it was kind of a tri-level, but it was like a bungalow, that's what I want to say. So I had like a bungalow kind of that style where you have like the stuff upstairs. And those stairs are kind of long. You got to go through like two flight stairs to get in. So when he goes down there to get something to drink, I would say, and I mean, I was paying attention because I'm like, he's getting something to drink. I'm like waiting for him to come back real quick. Well, he came back quick with no drinks and his eyes were almost out of his head. And he just looked pale. And I'm like, what, Jeremy? And he's like, Elise, come downstairs. And I'm like, okay, like, what's going on? So as we're walking down the stairs, every cabinet in the kitchen was open and the drawers were pulled out. Everything was pretty much open except the refrigerator and the microwave door and the oven. But everything else, I'm talking like all the cabinets in this kind of, you know, bigger kitchen. Everything, what was weird was everything was open precisely. My brother didn't have the time, or I would have heard it, for everything to just open like that. Because the microwave was on this little dresser type thing, and those little drawers were open, but not the microwave. It was just one of those. I like started crying. I woke up my mom. We had to like call my uncle, who was like a Jehovah's Witness, say your prayer. And it was just one of those, but that, like, I cried. Like, I was so freaked out because the thing was, I just knew it wasn't my brother. He wasn't down there that long. And this, you know, we were just talking about some stuff and all of a sudden, like, this happened. And come to find out, I kind of made friends with the landlord that the people's house we were running from up there. I made friends with the son, and he's told me that that house has had creepy stuff, and even the tenants before us had mentioned it to, you know, them. And So it was just either like one of those things where I was feeling like, oh my God, am I haunted? Or it just seems like every house nowadays are haunted, or do different energies of people stir up, you know, settled dust that just, I don't know how to explain it, but those are just a couple of the occurrences. Like, there's way more, but I'm just trying to get to, like, the timeline of most recent kind of, on, you know, like, not recent, but, you know, like, the first sequence of just kind of how this all started.
Thing is, you know, a lot of places are haunted. There are many houses out there which have had endless amounts of people live there over the years, their energies, you know, they've lived there, they've died there in a lot of the cases. But, you know, a lot of people, they don't leave, you know, they stay there.
Even getting stuff from a thrift store, or having something where maybe something went, like a lot of that carries with like belonging. And my dad, like I said, like I was kind of, I didn't even say I was raised a Jehovah's Witness, so we never got into any type of that. But my dad was very superstitious about what you bring in your home. Because some stuff does have a bad vibe with it.
Yeah, absolutely right. I had a guest on not so long ago, and what she used to do is, she used to work out of a studio. She was an artist, and she used to buy the old picture frames, these pictures from thrift shops and places like that, take out the picture, and then put her own art in there, and then sell them with these frames. And she would say she would buy these really old frames, and then she'd have activity that would start happening in her house. And then as soon as she'd done it and she sold it on, and that's it, things stop.
Yeah. And I'm not the one that is going to start saging. Like, I don't, like, I do have a couple cool crystals because I like to collect rocks. I love seashells. I love just geology in general, but there's people that, you know, try to do these sacraments or these blessings, and they don't know what they're doing. And it's not exactly stopping. I can't say it's letting more in, but it's almost as if you acknowledge it, you give it power. If you think it's good or bad in a way, it can deceive you on both sides. So I just try not to think of it as bad or good, positive or negative. I just try to look at it, okay, well, something wants to say hello. But even I had some really recent ones happening, and I contacted paranormal investigator to see if they, I just wanted to honestly look for like an energy reader. Not like maybe even with the EMF reader or something, just someone to like, I don't want to know if it's kind or who, I don't want a medium. I just wanted to just kind of have somebody that's, you know, familiar to maybe test an activity without disturbing it in a sense. I was looking into that because I was having some crazy stuff happen. And I mean, this was just like a couple of years ago. Like the recent one was, I have this cute pot. It's like a glass holder, and I put like a fake plant in it to like decorate my room or whatnot. Well, you have to nail these three little nails into this hook to hold it. And right when it hit Halloween, the thing just projected off my wall and broke. And I was staring kind of like right at it, because where my TV is and how my bed was positioned is where you could see it like on the wall. Something was it just kind of get loose and just kind of fall. It would just fall. This just projected out. And the thing is, the hook and the hole on how it holds, you have to turn it for it to come off of the hook like that. And it just flew like without. The hook was, of course, there, but the way it was, it's just funny because I'm so used to it that I just barely bat an eyelash. It's almost like, ha, you know, like, I'm not scared. I'm okay, whatever. I have to pick this up now. But, and then dishes, I've had my dishes just like fly like right across my kitchen. They're in my dish rack, and they would just kind of like fly onto the floor. That even happened in my son's room, where there was a dish next to his dresser on the TV and the Xbox. I mean, and this is like a long dresser. This isn't just like one of those chests. It's like the long dresser with the mirror. I heard the plate just, I literally, it wasn't a fall. It sounded like someone threw this plate. And for a second, because I told you I have cats, I thought it was the cats. I'm like, what? You know, these darn cats. I go upstairs. Like, what? You know what? No one was in there. And there wasn't like a breeze blowing. It wasn't like there was stuff all over and I just knocked it off. See this broken plate. And I'm just sitting here like, what could have caused this? My son wasn't home. The cats weren't in the room. It was just me. And it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, I better get a hold of this paranormal person. And I mean, we briefly talked or whatnot, but I just kind of, once like the New Year's hit, because this was in the time period of October, November, December. So like I was having those experiences through that time. But like when New Year's hit, I wanted to just kind of not even care. And I didn't want to be like all dragged up into this like investigation of the ether that's obviously noticing me because I'm staring at it. So I just didn't want to disturb it. And really, since I guess it's only been like a couple weeks since I've had like my last paranormal activity, and this one was weird too. I was talking to someone on the phone in the fire, my fire pit. Everything just ablaze, just randomly, just everything caught on fire. And it wasn't like I moved it to where, like, you know, then the light hit where I can have this like, no, like, I was just on the phone talking about, like, electric forest and how a friend should have a spiritual, you know, go on a spiritual experience. And I'm sitting in front of my, like, fire pit, and, yeah, the thing just went in flames. And I was telling him earlier that, yeah, I'm kind of having a little bit of like paranormal activity stuff again happening. But I'm not scared of it. I can tell you that. Honestly, at this point, I just kind of find it funny. Most people wouldn't. And I try to warn most people that hang out with me for long periods of time that like unexplainable things may happen. And I just wanted to like give them like a heads up. So they don't, you know, they're not. So just so they know, because I feel like that's a proper warning when you hang out with people to maybe, you know, let them know, like, hey, something may fly across the room, but don't be alarmed. Like, it happens, you know, every blue moon. I don't know.
Just be aware. Sometimes strange things happen.
Yeah, I just try to give, like, a little caution.
That's great, Elise.
Thank you.
Elise, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Oh, no, I appreciate telling the story, honestly. It feels good to kind of get it off your chest, you know, kind of cuts in half.
It does help. And like I say, you know, and other people listening to the show will hear your episode and, you know, and a lot of times can relate.
It's hard to say what's the culprit of it, but definitely I have a few ideas. But yeah, thank you so much for having me and excited about the journey. So definitely we'll be tuning into more of your shows and good luck with everything.
Thank you. That's great. Okay.
All right. Great. God bless.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
You too. Bye.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Hello, William, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And you're calling from Philadelphia.
That is correct. Northeast Philadelphia, United States.
Now, William, you have some experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Certainly. I will be more than happy. Okay, basically, the experiences that I've had, I'm fairly confident that other people might have had similar experiences. The experience of how it happened is what's interesting. So the first one was 1 month after my mother passed away. My mother passed away on June 1st, 2010. She ended up sadly passing fairly quickly. It was kind of bad. Anyway, July 4th was when we were going to have, obviously, our 4th of July, you know, being in Huntington Valley right next to Philadelphia, they usually celebrate fairly large. Well, there was weather reasons. We ended up celebrating on July 3rd, 2010. So here I am, first holiday without, you know, my mother or really anyone. The only people I really had were my neighbors and my dog. Well, so here I am in this house that my family built, and I'm standing in the living room, and I don't know why I started doing this. It just, maybe out of boredom, I don't know, but I closed my eyes. And when I closed my eyes, I pictured myself kind of leaving from the crown of my head, looking down at myself, going up through the ceiling, up through the rooftop, eventually looking over my house, over the neighborhood, and so forth, over the state, country. Next, you know, you see a blue marble. I ended up looking forward, and there are, I did the peace symbol. Basically, in my head, the symbol, instead of being faced down, I actually did the one that we knew as the subconscious symbol, which is with the fork up. It's supposed to be a tree of life. So I pictured that in my head, and I was there for about 4 or 5 minutes. And then after that, I just reversed the process. Went back from, it felt like from orbit, through into the clouds, overlooking the country, or, you know, going into the state, into the city, over to my town, over to the roof of the house, you know, through the attic, through the ceiling, back to the crown of my head, and I opened my eyes. I thought nothing of it. I was just bored. All of a sudden, I started hearing fireworks. I said, okay, looks like fireworks are about to happen, and out in my front yard was the best place. Second best place to watch the fireworks, next to being actually at the sports field. So everybody has their lawn chairs out in their front yard and everything. And I said hello to my next door neighbors and everything, and we got to talking. I remember saying, wouldn't it be cool to see what 4th of July would be like if we were looking up over the planet, looking down, you know, just kind of seeing how, you know, from light going into dark, and then seeing all the wonderful colors going from the north and, you know, northeast to southeast, slowly going west, and just seeing what a cool sight that might have been. And I ended up just crossing my arms. He agreed with me, and I looked over my left shoulder, probably around the 10 o'clock position. And lo and behold, there was a ball of light. If you could take your thumb and put it directly out in front of you, and close one eye, and you would see just the kind of the corona, if a better description, just the glowing of the outside. So it was fairly large and it was fairly low. And the best way I can describe on what I was seeing, it was dancing. If you took a laser pointer, okay, and you put it to the wall and you just kind of wiggle your hand around, you just see the, you know, the laser pointer just kind of bounce around, you know, just do wild type of designs and everything. It was identical to that. And I'm staring at this thing. Now, mind you, fireworks are going off, so everybody else's attention is at the fireworks. I'm looking at another pair of fireworks. And at one point, I couldn't hold it anymore. I said, everybody, look where I'm looking. They're like, what? And they looked at me. I said, look at me, then look at where I'm looking, which was, again, over my left shoulder, 10 o'clock position. All of a sudden, I heard some people go, gasping, going, oh wow. And it happened, the dancing happened for probably about another 7-8 seconds, and all of a sudden it just stopped, and it split into two. The one that stayed on the right hand side just stayed as a ball of light. It just stayed there. The main part of the light bounced from the northeastern projection all the way over to about the southwestern region, all within about 7 seconds. So if you pointed your finger at 10 o'clock position and swung your hand, your finger over your shoulder, pointing behind you to about the 9-8 o'clock position in about 4 to 5 seconds. That's how fast this thing was going. It was going very fast. And as it was moving, I'll never forget it, the woman said, well, maybe it's a satellite. And I looked at her and I giggled as it was flying over us. I said, oh, hon, satellites don't fly in pretzel designs. It just doesn't happen, at least not to our knowledge. Anyway, after that, we all started looking back at the fireworks. The woman who said maybe it's a satellite had her kid with her, grabbed her kid and walked away. I said, but ma'am, I said, the fireworks. She goes, no, we've seen enough fireworks. And she just left, which was pretty perplexed. The very next day, I ended up contacting Jeffrey Strauss, who was part of MUFON. It was his first case, ironically, and I did have that recorded with them. The second experience was a little bit more perplexed. The reason why, it was daytime. It wasn't nighttime. It was a crystal clear day out. I'd say like around between 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. I'm a little foggy on the exact date and time, but I do remember what bus I was on when this whole experience happened. I was in Northeast Philadelphia once again. If you guys ever want to take a look at the bus and scepter route or bus route, you look up the number 28 bus. I was located heading eastbound. We were on Rawn Street. That's R-H-A-W-N as in Nancy, Rawn Street. Heading eastbound, we were in between Castor Avenue and Roosevelt Boulevard, which is basically a 2 to 3 light separation, okay, before it drops out into a main artery. Well, here I am, my back, I'm directly next to the bus driver, okay? And how this bus specifically was seated, directly behind him, okay, my back would be towards the driver's side, okay? Everybody knows what a bus looks like. My back was actually on the window, okay? So here I am, and there's probably about 8 to 10 people on the bus. It was nowhere near crowded. We were going about 40, 45 miles an hour, nothing too crazy. And I was reading Billy Meyer information. I was very heavily enthralled with it. As I was reading it, it's kind of like, how much attention was I on this book? It's very similar to if you're very much into a movie or a TV show, or if you're in a really, really good book, you don't want to move. You want to finish going on to the next page, or, you know, wait until at least the commercial. So I'm sitting there and I'm heavily reading. I'm very much into this information. And all of a sudden, I get an impulse to stand up, go into the back of the bus, back to the driver's side. Okay. So I stood up. Mind you, the bus is moving. Nobody needs to get up because there's no stops call. So we're just moving. So I get up and walk towards the back of the bus, sit into the back. And as soon as I was about to plant myself into the back, I looked up straight through the window and there were row homes going past me from right to left. Okay. And you can Google map this. You'll see red brick row home homes that have a gap. Probably once every 4, 5, 6 connected homes. So it's as the buildings are going by, I see directly behind that a beam ship. It looked like a variation to beam ship. The classic one, if you ever seen the poster, it says, I want to believe or something like that. That specific though, it's that one in particular, but that photo does absolutely no justice. The beauty of this craft, everybody tries to say it looks like a polished chrome. That does not do it any kind of justice. It looks more like a melted mirror. And it was just beautifully molded into this vehicle that was up in the air. Now, when I first saw this, you know, you immediately start checking, you know, your faculty, you know, another series of homes go by, and as it goes by, the backyard again, the background still shows, and it's still there. It's there. My stomach dropped like a roller coaster. I know people know what that feels like. That is identical to what I felt at that moment. I didn't want to tell the people on the bus that, oh my God, and start screaming. I was more excited than scared and I just kept on seeing the beam ship as, you know, again, the buildings were going by. At this point, I'm thinking, I immediately thought of my friend Matt, who we were just talking about, to believe my information. I said, no one's going to believe me. I said, I got to get a photo. And that's what I'm thinking to myself at this point. And as soon as I had the thought and I reached for my phone, my right hand into my pocket, I looked down to set, you know, the setting for camera. And I look up, I see the beam ship, the building goes by. And as the building went by, it disappeared, gone. At that instant, I was absolutely heartbroken. The question's why. I felt very selfish at that point. And the reason why I felt very selfish at that point was because, A, I didn't even put a mental thought together asking permission. You know what I mean? I didn't even try, like, even verbally lift it. I just was selfish at that point because I, you know, everybody wants to be believed, you know, no one wants to be looked at like the screwball, you know. And, you know, I guess people who actually come out and actually talk about these situations, I think they've came to the conclusion, at least I have, that you would say, do you know what? F them and anyone who else who doesn't believe me. It happened. It just is. You know, with truth, there's positive truth, you know, and then there's ugly truth. Then there's, and either way, it's just truth. It just is. And that is what happened. I immediately got off the bus. I immediately called Matt. I said, I saw it. He's like, saw what? I said, I saw it. Because I talked about the Billy Meyer information quite often. I tried to spread the message about him as much as possible. I am not a FIGU member. I am a friend of. And I know this is concrete information. From personal verification on through what I've read and published versus what has transpired in my life so far. But yeah, those were the two experiences that I've had that I was wanting to share.
And was that the only time since you had seen a beam ship?
In the daytime, yes. There was one time in 2014 and 15, I couldn't remember the exact date. I was in Northeast Philadelphia at a store. It was a smoke shop called JJ Smoke and Vape Shop. I used to work in the vape side of things. And I remember seeing it was a gray spot up in the air, was not flying. It was just there. And I had a fellow witness with me. She was a customer who ended up locking her keys in the car. So we ended up going to the parking lot, and that's actually how we got out of the store. And I saw that. I ended up looking up in the sky. I said, are you seeing what I'm seeing? And she said, yes, you know, but there was nothing as in detail as what I saw on that. I want to say it was September 18, 2012. I want to say that's the date, but it was definitely 2012. I got off at the bus, and I was hoping for it to reappear. I immediately got off the bus stop off of Ron and Roosevelt Boulevard, Route 1. There was a Wawa, which is a convenience store that's up in the Northeast region. Kind of like a 7-Eleven, but way better. Yeah, I was hoping that it would come back in some way, shape, or form. I have had, as I was stating, that I had personal confirmation. I don't know if you'll edit this part or not, but it's what happened. It's kind of paranormal, but it is regarding with the Edward Meyer information. And I promise, after these stories that I state, if there's any other experiences that I've had, I will be, my lips will be buttoned. I will never ever share them again. Just for personal reasons, I feel, you know, if there was anything they were ever going to use, I don't know. It, you know, if there was going to be any type of meeting, which I'll say 10 times out of 10, it won't happen. But if there was any time there was going to be any type of, I don't know, if there was ever a contact, human being versus a human being who isn't from here, you know, obviously they wouldn't want to broadcast it over all around the world, right? But my lips will be absolutely buttoned from this moment forward. But this one, I was on, ironically, in Philadelphia, Welsh and a Boulevard. It was I just bought The Goblet of Truth. It's a book, and the information that's actually in this book is apparently all the previous prophets that were on the planet merged into one book. Something amazing. Anyway, I brought it out of my house, and I usually had about a good 3 or 4 hours that I was able to spend myself, and I used to go to the diner for about 7 years straight by myself. And there would be time where I'd play, you know, PUBG, you know, first person shooter games, or I would read. There was times where the information is so riveting and so it hit a part of you that really just rings true. I don't know how to explain it any better than that. Anyway, I brought the book outside of the house when I'm sitting there. And as soon as I opened it, I looked at, you know, it's a fairly large book. And I don't know why I did this. I just did. Maybe just to honor the information that was there. I took the book, put it to my forehead. I put it down. And I started opening the book. And I started to read. One side is German and the other side is English. And I started to read. Now, it was around 6:30 a.m. at this time. Okay, so the only people that were really there was the managers. Okay, that, you know, and the cooks, the waitresses, and waiters, and myself. Okay, there was nobody else in there. You can count probably about a total of 5-6 people in total in the whole building. Well, I'm reading this information, and all of a sudden, I felt an arm go over me. Okay, going from left to right shoulder, like someone kind of just walk up like, hey, what's up, bud, and kind of put your arm around you. What made it weird is that it's in a booth, okay? There's a window booth, okay? Then there's an island where it's a split booth, basically for privacy. There's kind of like a little wall that has like a little half booth on one side and then a half booth on the other. Well, it's a two-person seater. One across from each other, of course. So I'm sitting there and I look and there's obviously a wall. So there, it would be physically impossible for anybody to put their arm around you. And at first I thought it was a gentleman named Andrew. I thought he might've came from behind the seat and just kind of put his arm around me because I'd known him for that long. And I thought he was just saying, you know, what's up? So I nonchalantly look over my right shoulder and there's nothing there. Immediate moment, I knew exactly what happened. And I just smirked to myself and nodded. And I said, you know, hello. And maybe it was, call it what you will. Okay. I've never done any type of hard type of drugs in my life. I was a firefighter. I ran ambulance in my time. And for that experience to actually have taken place, and then I've ended up hearing stories from other people that have had something cousin to, or at least relative to. If you ever look at the show Destination Truth, and this actually has a great example of what I was trying to explain. Ironically, season 3 about Easter Island, they are supposedly wanted to shed truth on supposedly mysterious topics when there was an actual beam ship that was right in front of them at nighttime, and it had video of it going from all the way down to the horizon of the ocean all the way to the beach where the Moais are, going back and forth. And not one person, when they went to reveal the evidence, not one person, the gentleman's name was Josh Gates, I believe his name is, didn't bring it up once. How the heck do you have a show called Destination Truth when the most weird thing happened to you, minus seeing big heads on beach, you end up seeing this ball of light that had a silhouette of, if you end up, it's the one that has like the rivets around it, not the one that looks like the wedding cake, it's the other one. Anyway, it was this silhouette, the same glowy iridescence that I remember in July of 2010, showing me on TV screen, just boom, right there. And it, the shape of it was absolutely perfect. And it was literally about 2 or 3 minutes of this, like, you know, obviously shooting back and forth to the investigators that were on the beach, but clear detail of the actual movement of what a beam ship is. Like, it's boom, alive, right in front of your face. Don't pass go, don't click $200, pure truth. You could not Photoshop this. It physically is. I would challenge anyone try to replicate it. They'll probably get something similar, but it won't be exact. No way, shape or form. But anyway, what happened was immediately after the beam ship, disappeared back over to the horizon of the ocean, the guy who was the medic for the team started freaking out and started throwing his camera equipment everywhere and throwing his shirt off. He's saying, "What's going on?" He goes, "Someone's touching me. Someone's putting their hands all over me." And it's the best way I know how to describe it. You know, obviously, mine wasn't as abrupt as that. It was an arm, arm around the shoulder. But to actually feel a human presence, to actually feel, you know, someone put their hands on you, you know what that feels like. You know, and you can close your eyes for 1,000 days. If someone puts their arm on you, you know someone put their arm on you. Especially when they're touching on your chest and, I guess, belly and back. It would threw me through a loop, too. But, yes. If you ever wanted to see it or get a clip of it, Nick, I'm telling you, it's worth watching this. You don't even have to watch the whole show. Fast forward to 10 minutes, 10 seconds, and just press play. It's right there in front of you.
Yeah, I'll check it out. And that was Destination Truth.
Yes, Season 3, Easter Island. It's the last episode. I think it's episode 13, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, I'll check it out. I think I watched a few of them. I don't remember that one, though.
It's very, very... My jaw dropped when I saw it, and I was so angry at the team that they didn't bring it up during evidence. Someone must have contacted them saying, do not talk about this or else. I mean, Dan Aykroyd, he had his stuff removed from Sci-Fi. You know what I mean? It was the same program channel, you know, or the same channel at the time. But to actually see it, and with the same type of iridescence, the same type of movement, of course, with a lot broader perspective since they had a whole horizon of ocean in front of them. And it looked pitch dark, but you can tell that they were on beach. Yeah, man. It absolutely riveting.
Interesting. Okay, interesting. So this, after your experiences, this made you a believer? Were you a believer first?
Okay, a believer. It's one of those things where there's belief and then there's no. And when someone goes onto an airplane, do you want to know if that pilot believes they can fly or know they can fly? I'm on the direction of I know firsthand. I'm very thankful that this lifetime I was able to have this eye opening. When I was younger, I'd say the first time I was ever introduced to any type of UFO anything was when I was in the fire department. The assistant chief at my fire department showed me a VHS tape that looked like it was copied over about 10 different times. And he actually had the video, the metal, where he was able to crush in his hand and actually it would snap back to like regular, just flat. And they were able to crunch it in their hand and then they let it go and it would snap back. It was really cool. Yeah, that was the first. And mind you, after when I saw that, it didn't stick with me. It didn't, you know what I mean? And I'm like, wow, you know, it was really out there. It just was like, okay, wow, that's interesting. Moving on. You know, I still got to learn about what exactly is what's an attack line versus a supply line on a fire truck. There's a thing called a junior firefighter and versus being a senior firefighter. And I was currently going to school at that time. To be a full threat. But yeah, I mean, at 19, I had, I guess, I don't know why it didn't stick with me. I was 19 in Echo, New Jersey. This is around 1998. There was a thing called the Echo Ghost. Okay. You would go off to 73 South in Echo, New Jersey, and you would break off into a split called Burnt Mill Road, and you would shoot down. And there was a little history of a ghost and everything. Well, every time I went down with people and friends, they would freak themselves out to the point that I would have to leave them, you know, like take them back home. Well, one time I was fed up and I went back by myself. What you think the outcome's going to be was not what ended up happening, which was really cool. So here I am. I'm expecting a ghost at this point. I'm completely ignorant at this point. I didn't know anything. All I know is that I wanted some type of proof. Well, I'm sitting there for about 45 minutes and it's pitch black. There is nothing but woods, pine barrens, and like a drag strip of road that's probably about 3 miles straight. Okay. Probably about a total of 3 or 4 houses on the whole thing. And it was one of the things where you were able to see what was going on. There was only one traffic light or basically a light that was halfway down. That was the only light minus the moon glow from the sky. So you can kind of still see where your bearings were. Okay. But I was sitting there for about 45 minutes. And finally, I just spoke inwards to myself, stating exactly this. I just want to know the truth. I said, you can actually go through me to know that I'm not scared. I just want to know. I said, the real questions of why are we here? What is this? Why? About a few minutes later, I would look up in the sky and there was a ball of light that worked. Every time I would say go left or right, it would mimic in my head, mind you. I would say go left and it would actually move left out of the actual tree line. I would say, all right, come back, go right. And it would do the exact same thing. I would say, okay, stop. And it would stop. Now, this happened for about 3 or 4 minutes straight. I'm mesmerized because I was expecting to see a ghost. I saw something else. And then all of a sudden, it started to go come down and it started to get larger. That's when I freaked out. I hit the engine and I only had a Hyundai XL, but I ran that 4-cylinder like a top check. I ended up trying to go out as fast as I can. And I don't know why that didn't stick with me. I didn't really look back into any type of case until 2006. I ended up on some, it was called StumbleUpon.com, and it just all of a sudden, boom, Billy Myers in front of my face. And from that moment forward, from the information that I saw, my mother worked at IBM. I, at 12 years old, I also worked at IBM at a summer program. So the Dr. Marcel Vogel, it wasn't a foreign name to me. My mother, she was the first woman in the world to start a computer learning center for the execs in Philadelphia, in Center City. She would teach, she would have all the newest software. I knew about touchscreens back in the late 80s and seen them. I knew about laser discs that looked like the size of 45 records. I saw them before they were even a thought into the public eye. I've seen them. So I was, when I ended up seeing some of the tech that Dr. Marcel Vogel was using to kind of check some of the evidence that Billy had, I knew the man was not, you know, he wasn't a false, you know, people try to say they have a whole bunch of qualifications. No, this guy's the real deal. He was the real McCoy. And just watching the 8mm film, if you look at it logically, okay, without any type, mind you, there was no type of Photoshop at the time. And you're watching some of the movements. You're thinking this string would need to be as taut as a drawbridge cable for it to do what it was doing. And you just can't erase that out of an 8mm film without leaving evidence. It's physically impossible. Even if you spent, like, apparently Universal Studios got a hold of some of the Billy Myers' film, and they said they came convinced. At first, they said, "Okay, Billy, so how do you do it?" He was like, "Well, I just take my camera. They show up, and I take photos." They thought there was going to be some type of detailed plan. When they started to realize, "Oh, this guy's for real," and they were admitting to themselves that they couldn't duplicate it without having like a six-figured studio, and it, even then, it wouldn't be exact. So, yeah. Very, very much. I'm attached very much to the Billy Meyer case. I've seen a lot of beautiful insights. I've had, unfortunately, a lot of friends who ended up looking at me, you know, cockeyed because of it. But it's okay. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, not everybody knew that they could fly an airplane at one point in their life either, you know. So back in the late 1700s, you know, if I would have said, look, here's what's going to happen. Not only we're going to be able to fly going from, you know, one colony or one country to another, we're also going to be able to get hamburger going from drive-through in a thing that's called a vehicle where we'd be able to actually grab fast food. What is fast food? Well, it's a hamburger that you're actually able to drive up and pick up an order out of a thing that looks like a one-way telephone. What is a telephone? You know what I mean? Like, if certain subjects, if they're not talked about, of course they're going to be unique. Of course they're going to be almost silly to talk about. But if it's a constant conversation, if it's a conversation that's had, even if it's once a week, it starts to become normalized to the point that it's every day. How do you think religion happened? You know what I mean? I'm sure at one point, one person said, oh, you definitely lost your marbles. You got to do what to go where? But it became everyday conversation and it became normal. So So, for what it's worth.
I've always said, you know, anything is possible. You're only restricted by your imagination, basically.
True. That is true. The trick is to have a nice balance between imagination and absolute reality. You got to make sure you have a balance of that because, you know, you've seen a lot of wonderful artists go Lulu. You know what I mean? They ended up going, you know, Looney Tunes because they would end up so much into the fantasy instead of staying in reality. A lot more people would be surprised that there's a lot more cooler stuff in reality that almost looks like what Stephen Greer says at WSFM. But apparently it's connected to our creation. And that's what I honor to this day. The creation is what we should all, we mistake God for creation. A lot of people will get upset about that. But if you take a deep meditative thought of what creation is and what you perceive God is, I think you'll realize that, oh, I'm just not wording it properly. But yeah.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
When my mother passed away, she was on the end of her days, she was sleeping on the couch. And sure enough, when she passed away, you know, I ended up laying, you know, on her bed and, you know, it still had her smell, you know, so.
Sure, sure.
I fell asleep and it was the most, I was in a very, very vivid dream, okay? And the best way I know how to describe this on how this felt. So I'm in a vivid dream, and if you imagine almost like a biodome, okay, that's the dream world. All of a sudden, I heard my mother, and my mother, somehow, it felt like she put her head through that bubble and was playing mom. She was still playing mom on the other side when I literally, she would wake me up 5 o'clock every morning so I can get my day started. She would scream, "Bell!" And it would shake through you. It would go through walls. It would shake your frame, dude. And sure enough, in the middle of the stream, I heard that. And I woke up and I didn't think anything of it at the moment. But I looked up and sure enough, it was 5 o'clock on the dot. I started getting ready. I started doing, you know, my normal ritual stuff just to get myself up and out the door. And by the time I'm out on the road, I reflected and replayed what exactly happened. And I broke down crying. And I, you know, I was like, wow, mom, still trying to play mom on the other side. You know what I mean? You know, and I wanted for mom to be able to let go. You know what I mean? It's not, I wouldn't want to have that type of weight or feeling of responsibility once you're no longer here. Could you imagine that? It would be like, you know, someone's over in another country, and, you know, and let's say they're drowning and, you know, you're shouting from across the ocean, you know, and there's nothing you can do, but somehow miraculously you're able to hear, you know, hear a voice.
But it's really common, you know, I've had countless guests where, you know, they've lost a parent and the parent has, you know, has come back in one form or another, whether it's, I had a story on not so long ago and it was this woman's sister was giving birth and... And she said that her sister had literally just given birth, she's by cesarean. And she was saying her sister sat up and said words that wasn't like something she wouldn't say. And she believed it was her mother, which came through her and stuff. So, but countless amount of guests I have talk about parents that have returned. But again, you know, I think you would, wouldn't you? I mean, you would want to come back to make sure, I mean, in your case, make sure you get out of bed.
Yeah. I, you asked me earlier, you know, did I always believe? I'll tell you what really made me gravitate to this information. I really knew it was concrete. When I was in third grade, actually even earlier, when I was about 2 years old, I lived in Northeast Philadelphia off Tudor Street. And, you can tell in all my baby photos, I was angry. I was very angry. You never smiled at that time. And there was one, I was walking in the living room, and I remember like it was yesterday. Now, mind you, this is like, I was about 2 years old at this time. I looked to my left, there's a TV. I looked to my right, there was a couch. And I'm walking in between where I guess the staircase would be, which is probably about 3 feet past where I was just standing. And as I was walking through the living room, an epiphany hit me at that age. And I literally said these exact words in my head. I said, "Oh God, I have another chance." Exact words. And when I realized exactly what happened, I was living the regrets of the previous life. And when I'm telling you that all the weight that was sitting on this two-year-old's shoulders fell off of me like a ton of bricks, I have never felt so light in my life. And now, at 2 years old, having this oh wow moment, for some reason I knew, I said, I have to remember this. I have to remember this moment. I don't know why. I don't know how, but I need to somehow force myself to remember this moment. And I looked over my right shoulder at the point, and I said, it kind of felt uncomfortable. And I looked over my left shoulder at the exact point and moment of where I had that exact feeling. And from that point forward, I used to play a game with myself called hopscotch. And what I would do is I would try to go back as early as I can, okay, in memory, try to put myself in that memory as best as possible as I can, and then try to remember from that moment forward even earlier. And I would do that all the way, and I got myself all the way back to the ending of my last life. Yeah. And it, a lot of people would scratch their heads to this. I'm telling you, this is solid as this wall is. It's what happened. I apparently was not a good person on the, from my last life. I don't know if I think I was a thief or something to that effect. And the reason why I say that, in the end, I ended up getting a rifle round or a shotgun round in my belly. I remember being, now mind you, at this age, okay, from like 2 years old or so, I don't know what a desert area looks like. I don't know what Arizona or Las Vegas looks like. No way. I'm watching Sesame Street. I'm watching Duke the Hazard. I'm watching Spider-Man. I'm watching The Incredible Hulk. I remember literally, it's very blotchy at the end of my last life. I was in a hotel motel, and I remember feeling like a million bucks. Like I had no more worries in the world. From here forward, it's going to be smooth sailing. At least that's what I felt. And all of a sudden, I see the rotary phone, and it was a rotary phone with the curly Q cord that connects from the receiver onto the phone itself. It was ringing, and I remember picking up the phone, and I went from complete happiness to sheer dread. I remember hanging up the phone. I remember going into the bathroom. I don't remember what my face truly looked like, but I remember I had kind of shoulder-length blonde hair, kind of scraggly, and I don't really remember my face. But after that, I remember being in a vehicle. I remember seeing a vehicle ahead of me in like almost like a Route 66 type of look. And they were parked off in the shoulder. And there was these, it was a black vehicle that was almost like a Cadillac. And there was two people, looked like they were no-nonsense type people. I don't want to go any deeper in that. But all of a sudden, I'm out of the vehicle. I am at their side door, okay, and I don't know what the conversation took place, but the guy who shot me was at my vehicle, kind of like at the hood or the front driver tire, and ended up shooting directly at my belly. And I don't remember the pain, but I do remember dropping to my knees and fade to black. That's about all I remember when it comes to that. But then after, there was some other stuff that I'll keep to myself, but the next thing I remember is my eyes were blurry. And there were vertical lines in front of me. And I didn't know what the hell they were. As my eyes got clearer and clearer, I found out they were crib bars. I was in a crib. And then this life took form. But yeah, when I was, and it goes to this, and then I'll leave it at this. when I was in third grade, I was in a Heritage Day Camp. It was a summer day camp for Christians, apparently. And I was so excited to be there because I was finally going to be able to sit down and talk to someone about this situation that I had. In the best way I know how to describe it as a third grader, want to talk about a letdown. After when they had service and they were done, I ended up talking with the person who had the service and I started explaining it to them what it was. They completely denied my experience, which offended me and pissed me off to a level that, imagine, all of my life from that moment forward. So imagine that. That's all the time I knew. All of my life at that time, I was ready to speak about this. And they shut it down saying it was the work of the devil or it was a lie and it didn't happen. And I was completely perplexed, saying, how could you claim yourself a religion, okay, or it's a truth when I had a personal experience that I know without a shadow of doubt happened. It happened. It happened as real as this vaporizer that's in my left hand, okay? It happened. And for them to deny me at 7, 8 years old like that, from that moment forward, I knew it just was not, no. I knew it wasn't all truth from that moment forward. No disrespect to anybody who's listening to this at the moment, but it's just my life that I've experienced so far. You know what I mean? I can only go on what I've experienced. And yeah, man, I couldn't understand. And then I ended up, you know, as I get older, I find out there's other religions around the world that believe in a reincarnation. Some believe that you can reincarnate in animals, which I don't see any type of logic to. Animals are evolving on instinct. We're evolving on conscience and realization of life versus just living on instinct, you know what I mean? Ooh, fire hot, you know? Circling around back to the Edward information, that's how I knew without a shadow of doubt that this was concrete. It hit deep. It hit as deep as any words that has ever hit me in life. In any time I have multiple books with this gentleman. Every word that I've read from this guy, it rings a bell very deep. It's not just, you know, like kind of, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. No, it hits like, wow, okay, well, this is the reason why I'm having these experiences. Or, wow, this is why I'm thinking how I'm thinking. You know, like it, very deep, in-depth conversations. Now, mind you, he's a one-armed farmer. How is this gentleman having all of this type of detailed information when all he's dealing with, supposedly, is with animals and plants and vegetables and fruit? There's got to be more to it. Minus those experiences that I've had, okay, from having the firsthand physical experiences that I've had, I have never had anything in my life ring so true. And you did say that there was going to be a lot of rambling. That's very funny. It's very funny.
Sometimes it's best to let people just let loose, because sometimes you get some accounts and some little quirky stories that probably they wouldn't have shared in any case. So sometimes it's good. Your past life, though, have you considered having regression?
No, and I'll tell you why. That life has nothing to do with this life. At least not yet. I have a lot more things to learn and grow and evolve on before I'm really, truly human being enough. You know what I mean? Evolved enough to really go deep in understanding about my previous life. I'm having a tough enough time with this one. You know what I mean? I'm very curious to see in the next life, will I have any remnants of the previous this life, or having remnants of the previous life that I was previously discussing, will I still hold on to that? Or will that just be, you know, put into the conscious block? I wonder, you know?
Yeah, all very interesting. I mean, obviously that life was connected to the dark underbelly of the underworld. So, but you know these details, so you could probably search it up and you'll probably find a case where someone was shot in the stomach of the roadside.
And it was ironic.
man, I had a birthmark on my in my belly, lower right, on my belly for the longest time. It eventually faded away. I don't know if it's because I came to peace with something. I don't know. I don't know. I'm ignorant to that any type of knowledge. If that's any type of truth connected to that, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But they do, you know, you've heard people talk about saying previous lives where they would have something go from one life to the next. For instance, say if they ended up dying, let's say a small box, or if they died in a fire, you find out, or a plane crash, you find out that they're end up hyper afraid of whatever, you know, happened during their previous life. What, you know, were they buried alive? Were they drowning? Were they so scared of water? Why are they so scared of water? You know, why are some kids so adept to music? But man, I ended up watching a video about a kid who recalled his final flight during World War II, and apparently it was his only he was the only plane that was supposed to take off, which and he was actually able to find who his name was and where he crashed. I don't want to disrespect the story because I don't want to mess it up. But it was, if you ever look on YouTube, it's the boy who remembers Air Force or Air Army Division, you know, career. But yeah, there apparently there was all the time over in India where there would be kids who would know the exact layout of the previous house they lived in and their wife who they were with, who just so happened to still be alive at that time, and they would know their name and the details of them. And the only way that they would know that type of information is if they lived with them. Very, very powerful stuff.
I was going to say about that one. Yeah, I think the child wasn't a child from America.
Mm-hmm. You nailed it. You nailed it right on the forehead. That's exactly right.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. I mean, there's no way that child would know any of that information.
No.
It just wouldn't be available to him.
Right. I remember the mom ended up saying, oh, wow, look at the bombs on this. And the kid looked at him at 2 years old like, Mom, that's not a bomb. That's a fuselage. Well, A, how does a 2 or 3 year old know what a fuselage is, let alone pronounce it? You know, come on. There's got to be a line where your logic of 1 and 1 and 2, you got to be able to put that together without dismissing it. I'm sorry. There's too much of that is being dismissed, and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
It really is frustrating.
Yeah, I do find it fascinating, though, when it comes to the children and past lives. Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
William, I really appreciate you for coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
My pleasure was mine. I hope I had a couple people smile or at least nod their head. Nick, you have a good one.
You too. Enjoy the rest of your day, okay? And I'll talk soon, William.
May your workday fly by. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Elise and William for sharing tonight. And as always, thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe. And keep watching the skies. Goodbye.